Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another of our ongoing series of audio interviews. Michael Creasa here, a.k.a. That Interview Guy. And I'm going to share something with you. You know, there are certain things in life that just go together. Let me explain. If you go to a beach in the Caribbean, you're probably going to have a pina colada. You're going to walk barefoot on the beach. It's a given. If you're going to go skydiving, you jump out of that plane, you're going to have a parachute on your back, and you're going to pull that cord. If you've been in real estate and you're serious about this business, then you have listened to Walter Sanford. And if you haven't, then man, oh man, you better buckle down and get serious, because Walter's been around longer than probably anyone I know. He's helped thousands and thousands of agents across this country succeed, and we have the pleasure of having him on the call today. Walter Sanford, how are you?
Michael, it's a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Walter, you know, you crack me up. You've been doing this longer than probably anyone I know, and what some people don't remember about you is you were once upon a time a practicing agent that was very successful before you made the jump into speaking and coaching that you're doing today. And let me ask you this. In this marketplace that we see right now, things are changing. They're not the, let's say, the way it was 5 years ago. You showed up, you had a pulse, you're going to make money. What's happening in today's business world?
Well, what's happening is that, and I don't know if it's a bad thing. We're just getting into more of a normal market. Prices aren't going up as much. Some areas are actually going down. Buyers are reconsidering before they take the jump. They're not as motivated as they were. And so a lot of the practices that people have been weaned on for the last 5 to 8 years are no longer applicable. And if you do try those types of practices, you just don't make any money. And unfortunately, a lot of the board stats are starting to reflect that. 15%, 20%, 30%, 40% non-renewal rates for licenses on agents who just don't understand how to make money in normal markets.
So what does it come down to? Is it lack of skill that these guys don't have, or do they just take it for granted that anybody can do it?
Well, before they thought that buyers and sellers came to them for them to write orders, and now what's going to have to happen is we're going to have to actually find the sellers that have a real motivation to sell, find their core motivation, develop a program that achieves their goal, and during that time, weed through the buyers who have been reading 2 years of bad press to find out which ones really need to buy, and then put together tighter contracts. So, in a nutshell, my training for the top agents in this country right now that are taking advantage of it hinge around a number of items. We're increasing listing inventory. When less things sell and take longer to sell, to maintain the same amount of income, we need a higher listing inventory. So we're developing lots of proactive, demographically targeted seller lead generation systems that go to people who actually need to sell their home or their possibly more excited about selling their homes, people that own real estate in your town but get their tax bill sent out of the state, or expires for sale by owners, or old people in large homes, hot demographics. We design a program to attract them should they be considering to sell their property that is fueled by email, direct mail, personal contact, phone, and a web backup. Upon receiving that lead, we're doing a much better job of counseling the seller to determine motivation as to whether or not they're worth our time. At that point then, Michael, what we're doing is we're spending less on marketing. We're taking the lessons of the internet and making sure the property is priced correctly so the marketing costs are driven way down. Marketing costs are down. Listings are way up. We get a bunch more buyer inquiries. We then make the buyers jump through a numerous amounts of hoops to make sure that they, when they do come out the last hoop, we're only working with the foaming at the mouth, best qualified buyers. Then once we're starting to put together transactions, we're writing tighter contracts with larger deposits, less negotiations on price, less lower contingency dates. We're increasing the velocity of the transaction by lowering the amount of the closing time, eliminating personal property negotiations, making sure that our team is put in place by way of affiliates that we trust, and writing a much tighter contract. What starts to happen is that we're actually, because of the lower amount of agents in every market, we're actually starting to make more money using my systems in a down market than order takers were making in a great market.
You know, Walter, I've always known you were a smart guy, but you just said all that in one breath.
Well, you know what? 30 years of doing this, Michael. I sold a house a day for 20 years, and I've been in real estate for 30, and I've been training for 10. So I've either mentored or been mentored by every top real estate agent in the world, and have taken what I believe the systems that cost the least amount of money that produce the highest amount of return.
You mentioned mentor. I'm going to touch on that subject in a second, but I just want to go back to something you just said earlier. Isn't it kind of counterintuitive that in a market that's, I don't want to say doom and gloom, you know, crashing or bubble bursting, but let's say slowing down, where you have a glut of inventory, isn't it counterintuitive to say, go out there and take more listings?
Absolutely. But for 30 years, we've proven that the person that owns the inventory also owns the most effective method for attracting a buyer. In fact, the cheapest and most effective method for finding a buyer is to have signs up. So what we do is we make sure we have more seller leads so that we can find the sellers that actually have the ability and the motivation to drop the price to be competitive with all the other listings. So we're being more aggressive on the pricing. We're not only using comps, but obviously we're using listings to determine value because we want to make sure that we're the best priced property in the market. And the only ones that will do that are motivated sellers. The only people who will go through my presentation are motivated sellers, which means we spend an inordinate amount of time not only generating leads, but once we get the lead to find out why they actually want to sell. And if we go on a presentation and the seller says, I've been kind of thinking maybe want to sell someday if I find the home that I've been looking for the last 20 years that meets our needs perfectly. Well, obviously that type of a seller isn't going to be able to participate in this market. They still say they want to sell. There is no indication that they have the tools to be able to sell. So at that point, I need to develop enough leads to be able to say, you know, Mr. Johnson, I don't believe that I have the tools necessary to accomplish your goals, but I have a brand new agent in the office. Her name's Susie, who specializes in exactly what you're talking about today, and let me introduce you to Susie. That way, I'm making a 35% referral fee on the low-motivated sellers, keeping the highly motivated sellers, and then instituting a seller inventory maintenance system that allows me to continually get price reductions or value enhancements that allow my listing to stay current with the market so that it will actually sell. For an example, in the last really hot market I went through in California was 1990. For me to make $1.5 million in net commissions, I had to be on a listing presentation every day, and I had to carry an inventory of between 15 and 20 listings. By 1995, at the bottom of the market, I had to have a listing inventory of over 100 listings to maintain that same net of $1.5 million in net. And so what I'm trying to say is the only thing we have to change in a tough market is the listing inventory that we carry, but then we have to institute a seller satisfaction system where we're calling them once every 10 working days. We're letting them know about the new sales, the new expires, the new withdrawals, and the new listings, how they compare to their property, bringing them back close to their goal motivation, reminding them of their goal motivation, and aggressively. In fact, in my phone scripts book, I probably have 300 ways to ask for a price reduction, so you don't get people mad at you. And if they won't give you a price reduction, I've got another 300 ways in which we ask for a value enhancement, whether we're increasing the selling office commission to 3.5% or including the chandelier rather than excluding it, or including that 2-week timeshare to Cabo as a selling bonus. We're trying every week to make sure that we are increasing the value of the property or dropping the price and keeping them liking us so that we don't have to worry about upset sellers and also expirations. Just a better seller maintenance program is necessary in a down market when you have a higher listing inventory.
You made a really good point there right at the beginning that it probably went by quickly, too quickly for the listeners to pick up on. But it's that idea of you don't have to work with everyone, and rather than lose that prospect, refer it to somebody in the office and still get paid for their work. That's brilliant.
Exactly, Michael. 30 years ago, I went to a Tommy Hopkins seminar, and he says, real pros turn down 2 out of 5. Well, I know they turned down 1 out of 5, and when you have enough leads, you're able to nicely turn down transactions that you know have a low percentage closing ratio. The problem is that everybody's had and taken a low closing percentage ratio, and it's actually closed and saved the day. It's called roulette real estate, and Reg, the real estate god, gives you that one transaction very early in your career to ruin the rest of your life because you chase the rest of your life chasing that low percentage close. If you'll just walk away from the low percentage closes, you'll have the time to do 3 or 4 high percentage closes.
You mentioned that when you're sitting down with your clients, you've got to be really brutal about taking that listing, because taking an overpriced listing, it's not going to do you any good. You've got a sign up there that says, hey, I'm a loser because I can't get this thing sold. It's costing you money to advertise all the other stuff. I take it then, Walter, from the coaching that you're doing, you must have some kind of kick-ass system that you've developed, like, the ultimate listing presentation.
Yeah, there's no question that I am considered the top guy as far as a system on how to achieve the goals of a listing presentation. And it starts with 35 to 40 questions over the phone, with the ability to make another phone appointment if they don't have the time to answer the questions. Secondarily, it then is followed up with a third-party endorsement letter from a couple of your affiliates, maybe Title and Lending, then and a confirmation letter making sure that you're the last person being interviewed, that the time, the location, and that all other items are right for a signature. Attached to that confirmation are many documents that the sellers already agreed to participate with, which would be a list of all the things they find important about their home, a list of every objection concern I've ever had in 30 years, and asking them to rate how important those concerns are to them, how to get your property ready for a sale, how to properly price a property, many different small white papers that they actually read, interact with online, so that before I leave, I know more about the seller than anyone else, because the number one goal of beating the competition at a listing presentation is knowing more about the seller. Heck, how can you change somebody's life if you don't know what they want to achieve? Having all that information prior to the appointment allows me at the appointment to actually set up a trial close within 10 to 15 minutes, which is 45 to 50% successful, which means within 20 minutes, I'm leaving with a signed, correctly priced property within 20 minutes. And then if I'm not successful with that trial close, I have other modules that we can implement, always trying to under-promise and give as little as possible, so that it enables me, after I take the listing, to overperform and exceed their expectations. And very successful, very client-pleasing, and it tends to have sellers eliminate themselves when they really do not have the motivation to participate in a market like this.
You just said the magic word there, Walter. You said system. You know, and if I'm somebody that's building out a team, or if I ever want to be able to step down and have something to sell, it's all going to be about systems.
We have always tried to, and it started 30 years ago with checklists, and then it started with manuals on how to train assistants on some of these items, and then it morphed into systems we could apply technology to. Bottom line is, we have delineated the most important aspects of real estate and applied a system, not only minding what the overhead is, but also making sure that we are increasing the success ratio at every turn of real estate.
We mentioned earlier about mentoring. That word came up because that's kind of like another buzzword in the past decade, mentoring. I know that you take on a certain amount of agents, and you're very exclusive about what you do, understandably, because you're so busy. When you do take somebody on, what are some of the things that you work on, Walter, when you're trying to take a good agent and make them great?
We start all of our programs with how we started this talk, and that is, how do I immediately increase their listing inventory with good saleable listings? So generally, a great agent currently that's having a mid three-figure income probably has three to four very good proactive seller lead generation systems. We try to double that. And we try to double that without involving them too much, taking them out of the loop. And we can do that through technology systems and also possibly some assistant-driven and even virtual assistant-driven systems that will create incoming or come list me types of phone calls. We're very successful in implementing that. We then get the top agent out on more listing presentations, which of course increases the signs, which of course increases buyer response. Then we have to increase his ability or her ability to wade through the buyer leads, and also then beef up and increase the systems to handle the higher volume. At the same time, we also then increase the amount of unpaid team members through affiliates, and we manualize the operations so that it can be delegated to other people. And lastly, we talk about how to increase net, which means how do we cut costs, increase net income, so that therefore we actually have something brand new in this business called a savings account, which is then utilized to start funding down payments for real estate at what some of these markets are approaching the bottom of the market. And the majority of the rich real estate agents who are now retired from the last 15 years bought in 1995 at the bottom of the real estate market in a lot of different areas, and are now retired because of that fact. I believe that the people listening to this have probably picked one of the greatest industries to make money. Let's increase your net. Let's save a little bit of it, and let's be our own best client so that I can show you how to become retired. I personally have lost two fortunes and now retired from my real estate investments. I'm 51 years old, and this is the third time I've done it. So anybody starting the first time, not making the same mistakes I've made, of course, can certainly do it.
You know, it's an interesting thing, Walter. I've been watching you since 1988 when I got into the business, and I guess it was a couple of years back, you and I did an event in Vegas together. I was your MC and stuff. And one of the things that really amazed me is when it comes to Walter Sanford, you're selling success by the pound. And what I mean by that, the products that you put together are so content rich. You know, like some of your books must weigh over 5 or 6 pounds. Like people are literally coming in with mules to take your stuff away.
We spent $41,000 on shipping last year.
Incredible.
Yeah, we could digitize everything. People like to see the systems in hard copy, and then we give them a flash disk or a CD to digitize all the systems. But I have been hoping not to repeat mistakes for 30 years, which means that the only way you can do that is to develop systems so that you don't repeat mistakes. And we've tried everything numerous times, meaning when the competition finds out one of the items that we're doing and becomes successful at it, thus diluting our returns, we had to move in a different direction. So many, many times I moved in different directions and changed my systems due to the markets. And so therefore, the body of work that we've created over the last 30 years is immense, because I wanted to delegate these items to either paid or unpaid team members, and I had to write very detailed manuals on how to accomplish some of these systems.
Walter, one more point before we get going, and I don't think we really touched on this. The fact that you're also helping agents buy real estate so they can actually, like you said, have something to retire on. Tell us a bit about what you're doing with that.
When I made a lot of money, I found ways to spend it with Rolex watches and custom-made suits and waterfront houses, and I was never truly, truly successful until my escrow officer in California said, "Walter, congratulations, you're one of the top agents in California. This is early in my career." She said, "But why are you waiting here to collect your commission?" And the reason that I was there is because I, of course, already spent the money. And so, Michael, I never got ahead until I started saving 10, then 20, then 30% of every one of my commission checks. I never had the ability, the willpower to do it, so my broker actually wired it to an account for me. And I started making lots of offers. And these offers, of course, were on properties where with a 10 or 20% down, I could actually break even after a 35% expense factor. And I'd buy these properties. I'd maintain them in their decent areas to good areas. I would always improve the property, increase rents. When cash flow started, I'd apply the cash flow to the underlying loans. And I could actually pay off 30-year amortized loans in 7, 8, 9 years, sometimes even faster, by applying cash flow to these properties. And then my number one rule is I never sold. And I never got, my second rule, I never obtained variable interest rate loans. And I never had balloon payments. And I always bought in areas where I didn't have to collect rents with guns. And I did the right things, and I was very conservative. And what started happening was that my tenants started paying off my mortgages, and you'd get a paid-off piece of property, and you'd use that positive cash flow to pay off the next property. Now, this is the first time I did it was stupidly. The second time I did it smart, but lost it, most of it in a divorce, and I'm now back a third time. I'm back. I own a ton of real estate, and I use this system for the third time. We train real estate agents on this, and they've been wildly successful with it.
You know, Walter, I know you're too humble to say this yourself, so I'll do it while we've got the listeners on the call. And if you're really serious about taking your business to the next level, and just understand, I don't get anything out of this. You know, Walter is just a good friend, and I've seen what he has done with other agents. So if you're serious about surviving this market or any other market, about being able to put money aside to buy your own properties, damn, you know, to treat this as a career so you can one day retire, I defy you to find anyone better than Walter Sanford. Get on the call. Find him on the web. There'll be links here. Give him a call and find out how we can help you. Walter, you know, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. And once again, I got to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this today.
No, you're great, Michael. Thanks for doing this.